Welcome, everyone, to today's episode of the Run with Kat Show. I'm your host, Dr. Katherine Campbell, physical therapist, run coach, and most importantly, runner. This podcast is the place if you're looking for injury prevention, PR chasing, or just looking for some extra motivation as runners highlight their stories. Every other week, I will be talking to runners and running community experts to get you one stride closer to running your happiest, healthiest, and strongest. Thanks for joining me. Now on to the show. As a run coach, one of the most common questions I get from new runners is if it's really necessary to do a warm-up before their run. And if so, what is a good warm-up that they should do? So, in this episode, I have Laura Norris here to talk about the importance of completing a warm-up before your run and why you should start incorporating them into your pre-run routine. Hi, Laura. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
I am so excited. Of course, I needed to have you on. We were talking on Instagram and you are fantastic the way that you're so knowledge-based. And I am just really excited to talk about this specific topic because it is an important one. It is an overlooked one. And oftentimes it's a question. These questions are some of the most common questions I do get asked for just runners in general, but especially beginner runners. So this is going to be very helpful for that population and hopefully helping people kind of navigate what a warm-up should look like. But I always like to get started first with just asking a little bit more about who you are and what you do for work and a little bit more about your running story.
Yeah. So for a little bit of background on myself professionally and personally, like you said, my name is Laura Norris and I am the owner and therefore head coach, head content creator, everything behind Laura Norris Running. I have a website full of thousands of articles for runners on lots of topics. And my goal is to always bridge the science into a way that can be applied for recreational runners. I am also the co-host of the Tread Lightly podcast, where we attempt to do the same, bring an evidence-based approach for runners of all abilities. My co-host is Amanda of Run to the Finish. And I have my master's degree in applied exercise science from Concordia University, Chicago, which I completed. I wrapped up my classes end of 2022, but as I'm sure anyone who's gone through grad school knows, my degree will say 2023 because of the whole semester audit process. And I've been working as a running coach since I was certified in 2015, began working with clients in 2016. And even prior to that, my first job was actually working as a fitness instructor at my undergraduate university's recreation center.
So running has been a huge part of your life for a while now. And as a run coach, I'm sure you probably get this question all the time too then about warmups.
I do. I get the question all the time. And sometimes often, I always put it into my athletes' plans on Final Surge to make sure, to encourage people to do it, to tell them what to do. And a lot of people don't do it until they start working with me. And obviously that's not the only value a run coach brings, but they'll be like, wow, this was super helpful. I never did it before, but now I feel a difference doing warm-ups consistently.
Yeah, and it's an important thing for me as a physical therapist that I really believe that people should be doing. And it's amazing you put it into people's programs and agree, though, that whether you have a run coach or you don't, you should be doing the warm-up. So let's talk a little bit more about that. Generally speaking, what are the benefits to a warm-up? Why should someone even listen to us and say, when we say you should do a warm-up?
Yeah, so the benefits of a warm-up are many. There's not one singular thing it brings. It does a lot of things. So physiologically speaking, when you do a warm-up, you're moving through usually dynamic movements, and this can enhance your range of motion, especially if you're a little stiff from previous workouts or it's, a lot of runners run first thing in the morning. They're kind of helping enhance their range of motion after waking up overnight. It can help elevate muscle body temperature, and it can bring blood flow to the working muscles, which essentially primes your body for the metabolic and muscular demands of the exercise. There is a safety element to it because warmer muscles are less likely to be strained than cold muscles. So if a lot of runners go into a workout inadequately warmed up, there is a slightly elevated risk of muscle strains or similar soft tissue injury. Metabolically speaking, more blood flow helps for an aerobic exercise like running. And then I think there are also psychological benefits, or maybe even more so properly phrased, benefits to the nervous system. You're priming your nervous system for exercise. You're easing your mind from a state of rest into a state of work so that when you start running, it's less of a shock to your system.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you if you believed or you knew if a warm-up decreased your chance of injury. And so I'm glad that you had kind of brought that point up, because as a physical therapist, I always kind of, you know, slap my patients on the wrist when they tell me they don't do a warm-up. And then they say, you know, oh, my patellar tendonitis was like kind of hurting in the beginning, but then it warmed up. And it's like, well, if you, especially for the people maybe who are dealing with stuff like this, Achilles tendonitis, patellar tendonitis, issues like that, when you have that warm up, it does kind of decrease that gap so that when you're providing blood flow, like you had said, to that area, it helps with that stiffness. It helps with that sometimes initial soreness or pain that you feel, because the nutrients and everything are already really being pumped to the muscles. So the injury prevention, even the slightest amount, is really important. So if you're going to be able to do everything you can to decrease your chance of injury, a warm-up is important. And I think one of the most overlooked things that you kind of said was priming your nervous system. I have done warm-ups for, I should say my bachelor's was in exercise science. So I kind of knew these things like from a younger age, even before PT school. And so I've been doing warm-ups for a long time, to the point where it feels weird if I don't. I don't know how people do. But that nervous system and priming your nervous system is a huge one that I think a lot of people don't think about.
Yeah, I think a lot of people tend to underestimate the role that the nervous system plays in exercise in general, but in running particularly. I think a lot of people tend to reduce it to like just your set of lungs with legs, but you have a whole nervous system driving behind it. And like your mind and everything with like all your motor units firing and stuff is never removed from exercise.
Yeah. And then let's think about specifically a speed workout or race, right? Like if you're not doing a warm up, you're not priming your nervous system for something like if you're trying to PR or do well in a race.
Yeah, absolutely. Because a hard workout, like a speed workout, tempo run, and especially a race, places a large amount of stress on your nervous system. And when we look at theories of fatigue, there are theories that fatigue of both the central and peripheral nervous systems can play into slowing down in a race. So it makes a lot of sense to think about priming that nervous system before a highly stressful event like a race. And that's where I think there is also distinctions of the types of warm-ups. So like there is a general warm-up that we're talking about that's more mobility oriented. And then often before a harder effort, there is a warm-up that is sport specific. So for running, before a tempo run, interval run, or even a race, it's a few miles or at least 5 minutes of very easy running after doing the mobility focused dynamic warm up.
Yeah, let's go into that a little, the structure really of a warm up, because I think it does change slightly. And I think it is important to, I always say this, but there's a purpose to everything you do. And even when it comes to a warm-up, there's these benefits, which are purposes, or there's several purpose to that. But then we have to talk about the different types of ways that, you know, people might be going out for an easy run versus a speed workout versus a race day. So what does the structure of a warm-up, or what should the structure of a warm-up really look like to do? I want to say like, quote unquote, correctly, right? Like, what do we know in the research that is a helpful way to do that?
Yeah. So I actually draw, when I think about warm-ups from running, I draw a lot on actually what I learned in my strength and conditioning classes in graduate school, and how like warm-ups are built into different phases in the strength and conditioning world. So I think about mobility, like kind of like we talked earlier, things that enhance range of motion, enhance muscle body temperature, enhanced blood flow, and then I think about the sport specific nature. So if you're doing an easy run, you want to have something that is dynamic movements before. And to give some very practical examples, this can be simple, like leg swings, some lunges, some bodyweight squats, band exercises, maybe some light drills. And then in the easy run, the first mile kind of serves as the sport-specific warm-up of bringing you from the mobility-focused warm-up into your full exercises, because the overall demands of an easy run are lower. So we do the dynamic stretches and then we can go into the run, and you just want to ease in for various reasons. If you're doing a workout, say an interval run, hill workout, tempo run, there's that same dynamic mobility warm up before you start running. But then the first mile or two of your run is going to be that sport specific warm up where you are gradually easing into running. You are going very low intensity, but still running. And then a lot of times I'll have athletes do strides or drills as movement primers. And this kind of like movement primers in the sense of both bringing the nervous system in, but like motor unit recruitment and just helping them turn over their legs a little bit faster before the harder work. So that's generally the sport specific component I take into approaching hard workouts.
So that was actually what I was going to ask you, was if you considered strides to be a warm-up.
Yes. So strides can be used, you know, as their own thing in their own right, especially in many training methodologies. I do give them to my athletes after easy runs sometimes, but a few strides in your warm-up for your speed exercises is super helpful. And when we're talking about strides here, 15 to 20 second accelerations, you're not trying to hit a pace. You're not anaerobically fatiguing yourself. You're just telling your body that to go a little bit faster for a short amount first before you ask it to go somewhat faster for longer in the main workout.
Kind of explain what a stride is to them?
Absolutely. So, and you might see differing definitions out here, but overall, the standard definition of strides are high output accelerations. So generally, they're 15 to 20 seconds in duration. Sometimes you may see them written out in terms of meters, but for a lot of runners, it's just easier to think about duration because paces can vary. So for the first 5 to 7 seconds, you're accelerating. Then for the middle, say 8 to 12 seconds, you are holding a submaximal but fast pace. So usually this is around like mile effort for most runners. Some newer runners who are a little bit slower might be closer to 800 meter effort. Some runners who are on the faster end might be closer to 3K effort. It's like 90 to 95% effort. You're not sprinting. What I always tell my athletes is if they finish a stride and they have to stop and put their hands on their knees and gasp to catch their breath, that was too hard. These should not go anaerobic. And then at the end of that faster burst, you slowly decelerate. During the whole time that you're doing a stride, you want to maintain good form. This should be smooth, not straining, because we want to reinforce good running economy and good motor unit recruitment and good form. So quick turnover, good form. If you're straining, it's too hard.
And the strides are amazing to do, like you said, after an easy run, but could be great to do as almost a warm-up or pre-run thing, especially before a race or a speed workout. Would you recommend to do them before an easy run, or?
Yeah, I would not recommend before an easy run simply because the metabolic demands of that run are different. And kind of like we kind of hinted at earlier, you never want to go into strides cold. So that's why in a pre-race or pre-workout warm-up, you're doing like 10, 15 minutes of easy running first before you do the strides. With an easy run, like you're already kind of into the main purpose of the workout by the time you'd be warm enough to do strides. And then they're not really serving any specific demand focus for warming you up into an easy run.
Yeah, I think one of the best things that you had mentioned before was just that gradual transition that makes it just makes sense when you think about it, right? Like when you do a warm up that you might maybe start with some leg swings and then you might progress to some lunges or squats. And then what I like to do, I'm just trying to give some, and I actually want you to give me kind of like your general warm up routine, but these are some of the things that I'm thinking of, some hitting some calf stuff. And then as you progress, getting closer and closer to what looks like running until that point of, okay, I'm ready to run and I'm going to go and do that thing that's most specific or similar to what I just did last, which is running. So that's, I kind of like that transition. And like, I think there's obviously a lot of ways to do warmups. There's not like a one size, like everyone should do this specific warmup. But I think in order to really understand what a warmup should be, understanding that that's kind of the transition and progression through a warm-up. I know you had mentioned the dynamic aspect to warming up, but I need to ask this just blatantly for all the people out there who I'm sure have think this or need this question answered, but is stretching considered a warm-up?
I assume you mean static stretching for our listeners.
Sorry, yes. static stretching. Yes.
I realize sometimes I am too vague and I need to always make sure I'm clear for listeners. Yeah, that's a great question. And this is one I've gotten many times. And I'll caveat my answer by first saying, if your physical therapist has instructed you differently, you defer to what they say. So I do have some athletes who do static stretches before their runs because their physical therapist specifically instructed them to do this. But in general, for athletes who aren't being guided by a physical therapist who is working with them individually through this, it's generally not recommended. And there's a couple reasons. One, stretching cold muscles can be risky to try to push a cold muscle past its end range of motion. But number two, a really good way to think about running economy and good form when running is to think about your muscles to have elasticity, a spring effect, and static stretching temporarily sends signals to your nervous system to relax the muscle and you lose that springiness, spring effect. It might not be super significant for some runners, but for others it can be, and it can lead to just feeling like too sluggish or uncoordinated or lacking that springiness on runs.
So that begs the next question is, should people be stretching? And if they shouldn't stretch before, when should they stretch?
Oh, that's a really good question. So stretching after is kind of a mixed bag. Evidence-wise, there's nothing convincing to say that it should be done. And the evidence on whether it not it has chronic long-term detriments to running is kind of mixed. It definitely has acute detriments to muscle tension. And what I always tell people is, like, if you want to stretch, if it feels good for you, or if your PT gave you some stretches to do after, go for it and like see how you feel with runs. Like if you notice your runs are kind of progressively feeling less smooth in the movement, maybe that's a sign to back off the stretching. If you don't like stretching and you don't feel good doing it after, go ahead and skip it. It's not necessary for injury prevention. It's not necessary for cooling down. It's just kind of one of those things that's not necessary at all.
So I'm just going to clarify there, because I get this all the time as a PT, is quote unquote, I'm injured because I don't stretch enough.
Yes. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts there?
I think that that's kind of one of those like outdated misconceptions that, you know, stretching afterwards prevents injury with running. A lot of times injury with running comes from other factors that the athlete might not be recognizing. Sometimes they come from biomechanical irregularities, muscle weakness that would not be resolved by stretching. A lot of times if an area is tight, that's actually protective tightening and that represents weakness in that area. So an athlete will be like, oh, my hips are tight, I need to stretch them. That's actually sometimes a signal, and you should always defer to a PT, but that's sometimes a signal that the area is actually weak. It's tight because it's been overloaded And to keep it from getting injured, you need to strengthen it, not stretch it. Other drivers of injury, you know, are inadequate nutritional intake, inadequate sleep, poor training load management, doing too much too soon, and none of those will be resolved by stretching.
So not only is stretching not a warm-up, but it also is not the cause of why people are, or runners specifically, are being injured. So I just wanted to debunk that myth. That's a huge pet peeve of mine, and I think it's something that the more people are educated about, the better, the more that they could probably share it. But going back to the warm-up now, I think we kind of debunked the important things about stretching specifically. When we talk about a warm-up, we know that we need to go from a dynamic warm-up first, like you're moving and you're starting with certain movements that just might require some moving, and then getting slower, closer and closer to what is as specific as possible to running. But how long should a warm-up be? You know, should you just bang out 10 squats and you're ready and you're good to go? Should it be like a 10, 15 minute warm-up? This is also something that's really important when it comes to races as well, because I often have people who ask me like, okay, how long should my warm-up be? And then they have to think about backtracking and saying, this is how long my warm-up is, and this is when I should do it so that I'm actually ready and like still warmed up for my race.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I hear that one often too. So for the dynamic part of the warm-up, those leg swings and body weight mobility focused movements we were talking about, typically I recommend 5 to 10 minutes. I think that's very manageable for most people to do on a daily basis. It's something you can do before a race. It's even worth trading off half a mile of your run if it means you can get in that 5 minute dynamic warm-up. So that's generally where I recommend. Obviously, if you have one that's 15 minutes long and it works for you, that's great. But usually I see the issues trying to get people to do warm-ups versus people doing too long of warm-ups. Then when we get to like the sport-specific warm-up of running easy, of doing strides, usually it kind of works that like in a workout setting, say you're doing an interval run or tempo run, you want about 10 to 20 minutes of that, including the time you're doing your strides, because of how long it takes for oxidative metabolism to fully meet the demands of exercise. Obviously, if you're super crunched on time, something is better than nothing. So it's better to do a 10-minute jog and before your speed workout than to go into it cold. Before a race, it will be distance dependent, because shorter races are higher intensity from the start. Longer races are lower intensity at the start. So before a 5K or a 10K, that is where you probably want to do 10 to 20 minutes light jogging plus strides before, again, to get your nervous system primed, to get your metabolism fully up to the demands of the race so you can go hard from the start without accumulating too much fatigue. For a marathon or something, sometimes the first mile of that race is the warm-up. You should start really slow. Or for like a half marathon and some advanced marathoners, I recommend like even 5 minutes of light jogging before, plus those dynamic stretches.
So jogging before a race is a good thing to do. I want to clarify that. Like it's a good part of the warm up. Honestly, really, like depending on the distance, maybe a little bit more for the shorter distances, but like even for half marathons and marathons, just getting a little bit of jog in there is a good thing to do too.
It is. And like, this is funny because some athletes ask this question. There's often the concern of like, how do I use the bathroom before a race? And a little bit of jogging before can also help you with that aspect. So it's like so many benefits for people that address so many concerns athletes have around pre-race nerves, all sorts of issues on race morning.
Let's talk about, right, I'm thinking, okay, for 5K, you know, you really don't maybe need to have to worry about going, depending on the 5K, depending on how big it is, right? But like you might not have to worry about going into a crowd too early. But let's talk about these bigger races like the New York City Marathon and Chicago and, you know, all these really big races. Now, when would you recommend, or how would you recommend people to do a warm up in that situation? Because sometimes you have to go into the corral very early, like how early, or, you know, maybe you don't have the space, or like what, how would you kind of guide your athletes there?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So for something like a big city marathon where you are in the corral early, but the race is also congested early on, where your first mile is essentially going to be almost a warm up because you'll be forced to start slow. Usually what I recommend to athletes is to do their dynamic stretches and any light jogging before they get in a corral, and that it's okay if that's 30 minutes before the race, 40 minutes before the race, etc. We just want to ensure it's done. And then while they're in the corral, what I recommend to them is, like, if they start to feel like they're getting stiff again or they're cooling down a bit, to do some light movements that are non-intrusive to those around them. So sometimes just like light marching in place can kind of help maintain the warm-up that already happened. Obviously, you don't have space to do like leg swings or lunges, so usually we think about hip circles, marching in place and stuff. And then just easing into the race more carefully, knowing that you are removed from your warm-up. And quite honestly, you know, it's hard to go too fast in those races because you start congested and you don't want to lose precious time weaving around people in the first mile.
Yeah. One thing I really like to do when I do my warm-ups is, I think it's just like my thing. Like, I've noticed I think it keeps me kind of springy. It keeps me all the, like, everything just kind of awake, is like standing in one place and just jumping up and down, mm-hmm. like fast and then high, both of them, like just kind of jumping and jumping. It keeps my heart rate up high, keeps my calves awake, which is really important, such an important muscle for running specifically. And then just kind of keeps me focused as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Like some pogo hops or something.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. And you're not in anyone's way. You're just jumping up and down. So that's one I really like as well. Let's talk about your warm up. Let's go towards now. Okay. We need to do a warm up. We should do a warm up. And then the next question is, well, how do I do a warm up, or what should my warm up look like? And so what is your kind of go-to warm up to include in your programming or for your clients? And I guess let's go with one being like before an easy run, and then maybe one before like a speed workout or race, like where I'm assuming they'd be the same. You just add to, you know, the end part of that.
Yeah. So I actually have like a handful of warm-ups I give my athletes, because some people thrive on variety. And occasionally mixing it up keeps them consistent with warming up. So I'm just going to use one that I'm presently using myself and do give athletes as an example. So for the dynamic stretching mobility part of the warm up, I will begin with leg swings, front to back and side to side, gradually increasing the range of motion throughout. So you don't start with a large range of motion, you kind of build up, and doing usually that for about 10 to 15 reps per side. Then for me, this is a little bit influenced by my problem area, which tends to be like my glute medius. I go into banded walks to kind of work on like hip range of motion, just warming up the lower body muscles. So I'll do lateral banded walks side to side for about 20 to 25 reps total, and then monster banded walks front to back for about 20 reps total. Then I will usually do some banded marches with, this is gonna sound funny, with my hands against the wall to encourage a slight forward lean to mimic the motion pattern of a forward lean on running and the way that you want hip flexion to occur with running. Then sometimes some like calf raises, some marching in place, and if I remember, some pogo jumps, like we were just talking about, to, again, work on those calf muscles and everything. That's obviously not the only one out there. That's not the only one I use, but that's kind of been my present go-to recently. So that's the dynamic part. I do that before an easy run and before a speed workout. If I'm doing an easy run, then I go out and I intentionally do the first mile slower then I plan on doing the rest of the run. So almost jogging for the first 2 to 3 minutes into the easy run, then settling into an easy effort. For a speed workout, I'll start with about usually 2 miles of very easy running, again, kind of jogging to start, but then still keeping it lower intensity than the usual easy run. So very light effort. And I do usually 2 to 4 15 second strides after the 10 to 12 minute mark. Sometimes if I'm still feeling stiff, then I'll like stop, do a few more dynamic movements after that warm up, and then go into the workout. I have some athletes who do some drills at that point also. I'm just like more time limited and doing my training early in the mornings. So that's why I try to consolidate some like movement pattern stuff into my dynamic warm up before the run.
Yeah. And I think it's also like, listen to your body, right? Like you said, yes. If you're stiff and you need some more, and you have like a very important, let's say you're training for a 5K, you know, speed workout, and you need to feel really primed that first, let's say, I don't know, 800 meters and you're going fast, like give yourself the time to really make sure you can hit that. Me personally, I like to do, I like the hip swings. I do that as well, depending on the day and depending on what I have. I do this one exercise. It's called banded. I call it the banded stork. I don't really know what other people call it, but it's like basically like similar to like a fire hydrant, but you're not going into rotation of your hip. You're actually going to like slight abduction, but you're going on an angle. But it's nice because you're in single leg stance. So you're kind of, you're working that hip abductor in a way similar to running. I like to do some banded squats into a calf raise, some lateral lunges for some different variation in moving. You know, like you don't want to just be in one plane with running. So I like to do some lateral lunges. And then from there I try to really like work on thinking of the body as a whole with what is needed for running as well. So then I'll do some walking lunges with a trunk rotation or like a reach, like a side bend to open up that kind of that trunk area. I'll do some walking, just walking basically single like calf raise with a knee drive on the other side. I'll do some, then I'll start to slowly move into some of like those other drills to kind of get my heart rate up as well. So like sometimes I'll do some karaoke's, I'll do some knee drives, A skips, B skips. And then, you know, depending on if we're talking about a speed workout or not, sometimes some strides, but that's kind of how I position my warmups as well. Like trying to really think about as well how I can incorporate as much of the full body as possible. Like we know trunk rotation is really important for running, so I try to work on that. We know the calf is really important for running, so I try to warm up the calf. Especially also, I should say, like your warm-up should be individualized to you based on if you have any history of injuries or problem areas. Like you said, you work on, you know, the glute med is kind of your problem area, so you do some lateral band walks. Whereas like if someone has an issue with like their Achilles, then you gotta like, I'll tell people to like bang out like 20 calf raises or something, because you really want to promote blood flow to that area and make sure that is really warmed up, so you limit any pain you have or decrease any chance. Like work on the things that you know are an issue. And I always tell my patients too, sometimes the things that were once an exercise for the rehab, as they progress that, it just becomes a warm-up exercise. Like don't necessarily stop it because you need to do it, but it doesn't need to be something that is your pure exercise now, more just a warm-up. So
yes, I do the same thing to my athletes who graduate PT. I say take some of those exercises and bring them into your warm-up, because a lot of times if athletes back off of their PT exercises, the issue returns.
Yeah. And it's a great way to make sure you're getting it in, but not feel like it's like this huge part of your day where you just need to feel like you're doing your old PT exercises, because that's not what it's about, right? Like it's about progressing them and then strength training and doing things that are a lot more challenging. But in that sense, it's you've kind of graduated from them being the difficult thing. So make them the warm up. It totally makes sense. And I'm glad you do it with your clients. So I would say that's, from a physical therapist standpoint, a big perspective that I would recommend people to do.
Yeah. It's also sheer athlete psychology. People will skip stuff after a run, but they're not going to skip their run after doing those exercises. So by making them do PT-based movements first as their warm up, it's kind of ensures that they do them versus finding reasons to skip them after a run.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, runners will always find excuses to not do their strength training, but they'll make all the time in the world to do their exercises.
Yes.
I mean, to their runs. It's so funny. Okay. So in terms of warm up, is there anything else that we didn't cover that you would want people to know or that we missed?
That's a great question. And so the one thing I would say is to give yourself time to create the habit. Try by just first, if this seems too intimidating by you, start with something very basic, like those leg swings or lunges we talked about, and start with one thing to make it the habit. Because a lot of times it's that initial habit formation that is difficult for athletes. So we want to start very small there. Then add things in more as you have built that habit and you begin to see the benefits of it. Two, almost like I said before, you are not constrained to the warm-up that you see on social media. You are not constrained to do the same warm-up that you have always been. It is okay if it reasonably evolves and shifts over time. I think a lot of us runners can get very like single-minded and think this is the best way or this is the only way. It's okay if like your warm-up changes every few months as long as you're following the basic principles there. Some variety can do some people some psychological good. And the third thing I would say is like if you're meeting up with a group to run, invite them to do the warm-up with you. It's running with others is not an excuse to skip your warm-up. If anything, it's just a good opportunity to share the benefits of a warm-up.
Yeah, the sustainability first and foremost is huge, right? Like making sure you're able to do, especially if you haven't at this point, you've been a runner. Just doing the small things to get used to it. But, oh, I love the group run aspect because that's totally true. You know, people, I go to a group run every Saturday. Shout out to the Vitalizer people. My client Derek made that group run in Hoboken. But they, you know, sometimes I'll get there and like people will just go for a run. Oftentimes I do see a lot of people running beforehand, so they're already warmed up. But just in general, I've been to other group runs and they will just stand around, and that kills me as a PT. Oftentimes, you know what I'll do sometimes is just start doing some standing in one spot, some reverse lunges with rotation. I'll just start doing those bodyweight squats with a calf raise, and people will start kind of just like following or like copying, like because you're kind of setting that tone or environment, like maybe I should do a warm-ups, and then other people start moving around, and that's kind of how I go about it. Like I'll stand and talk to people and stay in one spot, but like move and do my warm-up like that, and then sometimes those mirror neurons just get people copying, which is awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's like it doesn't have to be like a bullying people into it. It can just be like doing your own warm-up and inviting others to join along.
Yeah, that's a great one and a great, great point. That is not an excuse not to do your warm up. And if, you know, especially if that many people are not doing it, you should be the person that kind of encourages people to do it and keep everyone else safe and healthy.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so last question I like to ask everyone who's on the podcast, and it does not need to be running warm up related, but if you want it to be, yeah, it could be. But what is one piece of advice you wish someone gave you when you first started running?
That's a really good question. For context, I first started running in 2008, which feels like it was a different era of running, and it was a different era of dissemination of information. So things weren't as available then. But what I wish someone had told me early on is that even for easy runs, not every run has to be the same pace. I think a lot of us runners, even if we think about effort, we still want to put things in very neat boxes and compare one run to another. And I used to go and try to keep every run at the same pace when I was starting. And I mean, I was 18. I just simply didn't know better. But it's something I see new runners fall prey to, and it is okay to have wide variations in your pace for that day, because some days you're going to feel great. Some days you're going to feel more fatigued, kind of like with the warm-up we were talking about. Like you want to adjust within each day based on your body's feedback, not on the watch's feedback.
The effort is always the one thing that will stay the same. So always make sure your effort is the same. And if the pace changes, that's totally okay. I think that's huge, especially as runners being over analytical people and wanting the numbers and wanting the objective things. So yeah, and I get that question a lot too. I don't really know where my easy pace should be. I'm like, well, this is your, on average, this is your range. And as long as it feels easy and you're able to talk and you're able to kind of rate it that like 3 to 4 out of 10 effort, you're fine. You'll be okay. So that's a great one. Great piece of advice. A big mistake that people make, especially is when they run their easy runs too fast. So not fixating on the number and not being a slave to the watch or the paces either. Like that will help you just in general be a more sustainable runner who actually enjoys the process of it as well. So that's a great piece of advice. I wanted to give you an opportunity as well to share any social media offerings. I know you had mentioned your podcast, reshare anything there if people wanted to get in contact with you about coaching or had a question about warm-ups for today's, from today's episode. Just go ahead and share anything you want and I will put it all in the show notes as well.
Thank you. Yes. So I can be found on Instagram at Laura Norris Running. My website is lauranorrisrunning.com. In either place, you can submit an inquiry for coaching, and in either place, you can find a lot of evidence-based running advice. My website is longer form articles. Social media is shorter form pieces. You can also find my podcast on Instagram at Tread Lightly Running, or you can find it on your favorite podcast app of choice, Apple, Spotify, etc. And if you ever want to hear a question on the podcast, I mean, obviously, I think people should send in questions to your podcast. You are a great interviewer, but those can be submitted at Tread Lightly Running.
Oh, thank you very much. And that is fantastic. I really do love and appreciate how knowledge-based you are on your Instagram specifically. So anyone who wants a trustworthy person to kind of go to about the latest research and education, I would highly recommend Laura. I love her page. She's posting all the PubMed stuff and showing you the receipts. So definitely check her out.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Laura, thank you so much again for being on the podcast. I appreciate you taking the time.
Of course. I appreciate you having me. It's been wonderful.
Amazing. All right, everyone, keep on running happy, healthy, and strong, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
If you guys loved this episode, please, please, please do me a favor and leave a review or share this on your Instagram story and tag me in it at runwithcat_DPT. If you or someone you know is looking for run coaching or PT, don't hesitate to reach out to me on any one of my socials or email me at katherinerosecampbell@gmail.com. If you want a community of supportive runners, make sure to join the free Run With Kat Show Facebook group. Thanks for tuning in and keep on running happy, healthy, and strong.